Now, hear the word of the Lord from Luke 12, 1 through 12. Meanwhile, when a crowd of many thousands had gathered so that they were trampling on one another, Jesus began to speak first to his disciples, saying, "Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight. And what you have whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roofs. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more, but I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has the authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. I tell you, whoever publicly acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man will also acknowledge before the angels of God. But whoever disowns me before others will be disowned before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will, be forgiven. But anyone who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. When you are brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, Sojourn. Peace be with you. My name is Stephen. I'm one of the pastors here. It's an honor to be with you guys this morning. Our mission here at Sojourn is to reach people with the gospel, build them up as the church, and send them out into the world. This morning, just quick announcement for our men in the room. We have our men's groups, which are small groups of men who are intentionally brought together with the goal of going deeper than just being an acquaintance. So the idea is that you share your story, intimate details about your life in a safe setting in order to foster deeper relationships. So if this is something that you're interested in, deeper relationships, being known, knowing others, carrying others' burdens, having them share your burden, we encourage you to sign up. That's starting the first week of August. Nolan Wyke is leading it. He's in the Bible Study Fellowship right now. He'll be in the sound booth at the end of the second service. But highly encourage you to talk to him if that's something you're just interested in, and we'll have that on the app and online and all those things. You can sign up for that in the coming months. So with that being said, how many of you have ever had been confronted with a truth about yourself that you had been trying to ignore for a long, long time, and when you finally confront it, it just makes you want to vomit? Just like getting slugged in the stomach and you just, happened to me in the fall of 2008 when I was at Davidson College. Go Wildcats, Steph Curry's awesome, got my tie on, I'm repping. At Davidson College, when you are a freshman, they bring you in and they sit you down and they say, here's one rule for the college, which is our honor code, which is do not cheat. You can lie, you can murder, you can steal. Do not cheat. And you sit down and they bring you into this room and they bring everybody up on stage and you sign this honor code in front of God and everybody. And then they take that and they post it on this wall. And it's there for everyone to see that we have all agreed we will not cheat. Like if you can say anything about Davidson students is that we're honorable. And I tell you what, I was the most honorable because I was a goody two-shoes. That was my who people knew me to be. Don't cuss, don't chew, don't go with girls who do. Like, that was me. I was the golden child. And so, of course, I cheated. So what happened was, is I had a French exam and I had an econ test, and they're all take-home exams. And, you know, you just kind of convince yourself that, you know, I know the answer. And it's not, I'm just going to check myself. I'm just going to make sure that I got the, and yeah, I was like, okay, I got it right. And like, I knew all those answers. And after these two tests, they were take-home tests, and it was 2 years. So it was like my freshman year, one time in my sophomore year. And then in my junior year, you know, it's like, I just can be like, I'm fine. Like, I didn't do anything wrong. It's just, you know, you just subtly convince yourself that nothing happened. It wasn't anything wrong. And then one day at dinner, I was sitting with a guy who I will call Frank. And Frank is one of those guys who was known at Davidson to be sort of ethically gray. And Frank and I were friends. We hung out together, and Frank looked at me, and I don't remember what happened, but we were talking about the honor code and about cheating, and he looked at me, and he went, oh, so have you ever cheated? And I was like, no, haven't, ever. And you got to remember, like, Frank was this guy who was just like Eddie Haskell. He was like Newman from Seinfeld, where it was like, if this guy accuses you of something, it just makes you feel icky. And essentially, he had accused me of cheating. And in that confrontation, I could no longer deny that I had cheated. It was just presented to me so clearly. And like, I couldn't sleep for weeks and months and like got just like ill because I had committed the unforgivable sin. And so what did I have to do? Well, eventually it just got to the point where I was so distraught that I called the dean. And I was like, hey, I have to talk to you right now. And he was like, okay, come to my office. So he came in from home. He met me at his office. And I was like, look, I cheated. And he was like, okay, thanks for telling me. Here's what's going to happen now. And we have this honor council. And they were going to give me, they gave me like two lawyers who were like my lawyers. And they have two prosecuting attorneys. And they were like, you're going to have a little trial. We're going to send you in front of these guys. And you're going to have to tell them what happened. And, you know, I just, like, knew my life was over. It was like they're going to kick me out of school. They won't let me be back. Anything I want to do in the future is just ruined. But I had to go through with it. And I told them, and the prosecuting guys were like, so you cheated? I was like, yes, I cheated. They're like, well, our job's done. And so I went to the honor council. They had the whole room. It was, like, darkly lit. It was, like, weirdly, like, oppressive. And they said, okay, now that we've heard your case, we'll deliberate, and we'll let you know what your punishment's going to be. And they did the whole thing, and they told me I was going to just be failed for those two classes. And it was just a miserable experience of being confronted with a version of myself that I did not think was true. It was being confronted with a truth that I had denied for years, and yet I could no longer deny it. And I think that is the sort of life that Jesus is trying to warn us against this morning in Luke chapter 12. If you read this passage, it is bizarre. The sort of stream of thought, it sort of starts off with, don't be a hypocrite because everything you know is going to be announced from the in the streets. And also, make sure that you fear God because he might throw you into hell, but God also loves you, but also make sure you tell your friends about Jesus, but then also don't worry about what you're going to say because the Holy Spirit will tell you. And you're just like, where, how, Jesus, like what's the flow of thought here? And if you want to trace the flow of thought, because again, I think Jesus is the most brilliant man who's ever lived. Besides being God, he was just brilliant. And also the author of Luke is pretty sharp. And there's this one thread that you sort of can pull through this whole section that shows you, like, what are they really talking about here? And really what I think the sort of thread is don't be a hypocrite. And if you want to flip that idea on its head, it's live honestly. Live with integrity. And so here's how we can kind of trace that flow of thought. So here's how it starts. If you want to read along with me, we're in Luke chapter 12, verse 1 through. We're on page 845 of your Brown Pew Bible, if you want one in front of you. And here's how it starts. Meanwhile, when a crowd of many thousands had gathered so that they were trampling on one another, Jesus began to speak first to his disciples, saying, "Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you have whispered in the ear of the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roofs." So if you're new with us at Sojourn, we preach through the books of the Bible. We've been in the book of Luke. Luke is trying to show us that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the chosen one. And he is confronting the religious leaders of the day because he is claiming that he is God. And the religious leaders of the day have no room, no capacity to believe that this human, this man, could be God himself. And so he starts confronting them because he's doing miracles, he's teaching things that are true, and he starts confronting them with their own hypocrisy. And in chapter 11, he's essentially saying, you guys are supposed to be the ones looking out for the Messiah. You should know when he arrives. I am the Messiah, and instead of looking out for me, you've been looking out for yourselves. You are trying to get people into the kingdom of God, and instead you have shut the door and made the kingdom not available to them. And he just kind of, that's how he ends it, and he walks away. And then in this next chapter, it's kind of amazing. He's walking with these huge crowds. And I can imagine the disciples being with him, being like, heck yeah, he told those Pharisees, that's right. Look at these huge crowds, like, we are the guys. And I can just imagine Jesus being like, guys, what are, like, no, time out, pause. We're not, no, we're not doing that. And he says, again, like, be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. And I think it's so interesting because the image of yeast is just something that subtly, slowly, methodically works through something to the point where you don't even know it's there. And that is the same thing that had happened to me. And so what Jesus says is, be on your guard against this. And it's like, why should we be on our guard against this? And essentially Jesus says, like, you don't really need to bother with this because eventually you will be found out. Your hypocrisy cannot be contained. And I think if you read the sort of context of what he's talking about, it can't be contained presently. Essentially, he's saying, look, you can say it behind the Pharisees' backs, but one day they are going to find out. And if they find out, they are going to want to kill you. And the other thing is, he's also saying, as he's talking about like the end times and the judgments, the things that we say, the things we try to hide, will one day be announced from the rooftops. Revelation 20 talks about that our judgment will be in front of God and everybody. And so there is a certain sense where it's like, you can try to hide who you are, you can try to hide the things you've done, but you might as well just own it today because eventually, one day, it will be made known. And for the disciples, this is scary, not just for the current moment, but for the eternal moment. But if we're honest, that sort of present moment is the scariest part. Because again, Jesus is claiming to be God. That is anathema, that is blasphemy as far as the Pharisees are concerned. It is an offense worthy of death. And if you're his follower, then following him is worthy of death. So these Pharisees would want to kill you. These religious leaders would want you dead. And so if Jesus is telling you, hey, you might as well just be honest about it, you might as well just tell people the truth, they're kind of freaking out. Like, Jesus, if I do that, that will get me killed. And so Jesus is like, okay, well, here's why you shouldn't be worried about that. And here's what he says next. He says, I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. So the warning goes something like this. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't be like these religious people that I've just warned. And don't be afraid of those religious people. They can just kill you. There is a worse thing that can happen to you than dying. There is something that is worse than death, and that thing is being thrown into hell. And that is a fate that is far worse than death. But don't worry. God is with you. Don't be afraid. This God who can throw you into hell, like he knows about sparrows, he knows about pennies, and he likes you. Don't be afraid. And it's like, okay, Jesus, I agree, right? Let's just say for the sake of the argument, I'm with you, Jesus. I don't want to be a hypocrite, right? And I don't want to go to hell. So what do I do? Like, you're just telling me, like, I can get tossed in for lying, being a hypocrite? Like, what's going on here? Like, how do I, like, let's say I want to avoid that fate, whatever that fate is, whatever hell is, whatever it is that's worse than death. If I want to avoid that, what do I do? And then Jesus goes on. He says, I tell you, whoever publicly acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man will also acknowledge him before the angels of God. But whoever disowns me before others will be disowned before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But anyone who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. So first, let's just take a look at the encouragement, because this is a warning and an encouragement. The encouragement is, at the end of time, God and his angels will come, and there will be a judgment throne, and people will be judged, according to Revelation, according to what we have done. And Jesus will look at you, and if you have acknowledged him, will say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. Come into your master's happiness. And he will say that in front of everyone. Like, there will not be a soul that has existed that will not look at you and go, wow, look at what God has acknowledged about them. That is wonderful. That's a great encouragement. But then the sort of warning is, but if you disown Jesus, if you say there is nothing that you want to do with this guy, then he will say, okay, then there's nothing I want to do with you. And that is a terrifying prospect. And then Jesus sort of lumps on top of this other thing, which is, hey, look, you can also, it doesn't really matter what you say about me, but if you say something, if you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, well, that's an unforgivable sin. And so, again, we're trying to, like, process, what is Jesus talking about here? And again, the whole through line of this concept, this section of text, seems to be this idea of, like, be honest. And it's like, what is this unforgivable sin? Anybody in here with OCD like myself who's always been, like, kept you up at night, like, have I committed the unforgivable sin? It's like, have I done this one? Like, is that, because, like, if I said, like, I made a joke about the Holy Spirit, you know, where he's, like, in a sheet or something, or I read a Far Side comic, like, is that, did I do it? Like, am I, And you kind of create this panic in yourself. So let's just, if that through line of honesty comes all the way through this, well, let's look at what's the Holy Spirit's job. The Holy Spirit has one job that is outlined in John chapter 16, which is to say that he has come to convict the world of sin and point the world to Jesus. In the same way, Paul, in the beginning of Romans chapter 1, says that the whole universe, everything that we see, declares the goodness and the glory of God. It cannot be missed. So what is this ultimate hypocrisy? What is this ultimate not living in truth? It is to hear the Holy Spirit say, God is good. God is for you. Jesus is the Son of God. He has come to rescue you. It is the grandest truth in all the universe, and the Spirit, the universe, everything in existence screams this truth. Luke will later write that even if the people were not saying this, the rocks would cry out this truth. It is a truth that hits you to the core of who you are. And the greatest act of hypocrisy that can exist is to say, that is not true. Jesus is not God. I do not need his help. I am good on my own. That is the grandest, greatest act of hypocrisy. And the thing is if you say, Jesus, I don't need you and I don't need your forgiveness, I'm good on my own, then you don't need his forgiveness and he won't give it to you. And it's not a matter of can't. Notice what he says here. Doesn't say that that person who commits the act of blasphemy of the Holy Spirit can't be forgiven. They won't be forgiven. Why? Because if you don't want that forgiveness, then sure, you don't need it. So the only way to blaspheme against the Holy Spirit is to say, I don't need you, Jesus. But what if, time out, wait, time, hold on. But what if you deny Jesus? What if Jesus was like in the room and he like made eye contact with you and you're like, I don't know who he is, I'm good. And what if you did it 3 times in a row? What if you did it in front of everybody? What if you did it after Jesus told you we're going to do it? Wait a second, that has happened. That was Peter. That's the guy who Jesus built his church around. So it can't be a one-off event. It has to be a heart posture of saying, I know the truth. I know that Jesus is Lord, and I refuse to follow him. I will not do it. That's the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. So if you're ever concerned, like, oh man, did I do it one time? You're in good shape. Don't worry about it. It's a heart posture that says, I do not care. I am the master of my own fate. I will do what I want. So that seems to be the through line of all these things. So then it's like, okay, be honest. Don't be a hypocrite, because you're going to be found out anyway. So if I'm going to be found out anyway, I might as well, like, just be honest, even if it costs me my life, because that honesty of saying I follow Jesus will actually get me a great reward in heaven at the judgment. It's like, okay, well, then that's what I should do. But Jesus is like, hold on, time out. There's more. There's good news. Because then he says, because you are going to be found out, you will be brought before these Pharisees, these rulers. And this will be the time that you have to defend yourself. So in this time, if you were brought before these rulers, you'd have to give a defense. Why do you follow Jesus? What do you have to say for yourself? And essentially, Jesus is like, you don't have to worry about putting together your defense. You don't have to worry about trying to make it work. You don't have to worry about being cute or clever. You can just say what you believe, because guess who's going to be there with you? The Holy Spirit. And he's just going to give you the words you need to say. And Luke, who also wrote the book of Acts, writes later about this when Peter and John are being interrogated by the Sanhedrin and they're being asked, like, why do you believe this stuff? You got to quit talking about Jesus. And they're like, look, guys, like, I don't know what to tell you. I really don't. But we can either obey you or we can obey God. Which one do you want us to do? And the Sanhedrin's like, we don't know what to do with that answer. And it's like, yeah, because where did that answer come from? Right here, the Holy Spirit. And so this is where it's like, okay, that's great for those guys. It's, again, cool that these believers in Jesus in this time period, Jesus promised that they would have the Holy Spirit. And yeah, they don't want to be hypocrites. And yes, like, they want to follow Jesus closely at this time. But like, what does this have to do with me? Like, the so what for me? And I think for us, it's just that through line of don't be a hypocrite. And Jesus is saying, like, do you see how awful this will make your life? Not only in the future, but right now. Knowing that something is true and living like it's not will split your soul. It will ruin your life, not just because you'll be found out, because it will just be an awful human experience. And so for us this morning, I think the invitation from Jesus is simply to say, what truth in your life do you need to acknowledge? What truth in your life has been knocking at the door saying, this is real, this is the reality, and you've been saying, don't want to pay attention to that, I'll turn on Netflix, I'll evade it. Because the thing is if you can acknowledge that truth, Jesus has said the Holy Spirit will be there and there is goodness in your life to be had today, not just in the future, but today there is goodness in your life. Because here's the thing, the end of that story for me at Davidson was I had to confess to my friends that I had committed the unforgivable sin, that I had cheated. And my best friend, Wes, you know what he did when I told him? I told him, I told my friend Curry, and I told Andrew. I told them all at the same time because I was just like, I got to tell them. They're going to find out one way or the other. And he cried. He said he loved me. He said that was not the truest thing about me. He said the truest thing about me was that God loved me, God was for me, and that he loved me. Like, I went through that whole process, and I learned that there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. I learned that being honest, living with integrity, even though I hadn't, starting to live with integrity on that day brought rewards. It brought a goodness that I would not have found otherwise. And no, I didn't. The worst thing that could have happened to me didn't happen. I didn't get kicked out of school. And it was in those moments where I was thinking, this is going to be awful. And God showed up and said, you know what? Being honest is better. Being honest is better than those future fears that you have. Being honest now, even though those things could happen, being honest is so good. It brings the kind of life that you want to live. And so the other thing that we kind of have to end with is, like, what's the one thing that we all have to acknowledge? What is the one thing that we all have to admit this is true of us? That is the hardest thing, I think, for humans to acknowledge, which is we cannot live this life on our own. We have been given a great power, a great responsibility as the image bearers of God. We all bear God's image. We are all created in his goodness, and we are all failures. We are all guilty. We are all sinners. We all have to own the truth that we have been separated from God because of our own decisions. We are born in sin, and we live in sin, and we have loved sin. That is the truth. But if you're going to acknowledge the truth, you can't just stop at a half-truth. To say that you are only a guilty worm is only a half-truth. If you're going to live a life of truth, you have to acknowledge that God loves you so much that even while you were a sinner, he sent his one and only son to die for you so that he can send his spirit to live inside you, to transform you, to make you into a brand new, beautiful human. He has given you the power to live honestly and with integrity, to shun your own hypocrisy. He has given you a power to transform yourself and our community. So if you're going to acknowledge a full truth, you have to say that Jesus is Lord and God and that he loves you. That is the whole truth. That's the gospel. So that is living honestly. That is living a life with God. And it is hard. And yet it is beautiful. Let's pray.